Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Today I want to talk about the preserving power of prayer. First I go to Psalm 86, a prayer of David. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. You see, the psalmist here is realizing that God is not only man's creator, but he is also the preserver. He's God the preserver. He will keep us from those things that would like to corrupt us. He will keep us from those things that would compromise our principles of truth. He would keep us from those things that would kill faith in us, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is what finds us to be pleasing with God. It's what gets us in that dominion and in that region where God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. So we understand that God truly is a preserver of men. And when the psalmist here says, for I am holy, he's not necessarily looking at his own perfection or holiness, but the sincerity in his trusting God, in his search for God, in his pursuit of God's perfection. It's more than a religion to him. It is something that is deep. It is something that is from the heart and not just knowledge or something that's just stuck in the head. And so David is crying out to him and showing that he's putting his trust in the Lord and knowing that God is a God that preserves. He preserves what is clean, because holiness is being clean. Holiness is being pure. Holiness is sanctification, that which is set apart and consecrated unto the Lord. It's absent of the filth of the flesh. It's absent of the folly of men and all of the manipulative tendencies of politicism and religiosity and people who are just merely opportunistic, trying to take advantage of things in this world as opposed to a closer relationship with God through his word. And so it's a preservation of what is clean, but it's also preserving his claim. Psalm 37 and 10, the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Psalm 97 and 10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. It's his saints. It's his claim. It's his ownership. Think about this. If you're blood bought, sanctified by the Spirit, if you've been through that incredible Acts 2:38 experience, you've had that in your life, out of your belly is flowing rivers of living water, you've been branded with a name above every other name, sealed by the Spirit of God according to Ephesians 1, you don't belong to yourself. You've been bought with a precious price. And so when the Lord preserves you, when he keeps you, he's preserving his claim. And then not only does he preserve what is clean, not only does he preserve his claim, but he preserves what is close, those things that are near to him. This is something that was described of David. He was a man after God's own heart. Apostle Paul talked about to the church at Philippi, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he wasn't settling for things in the past. He wasn't satisfied with the ordinary religious markers. He wasn't satisfied with pandering boundaries and those things that were mere policies to make men look good. He wanted the righteousness of God. He wanted to be pleasing to the Lord. He wanted to walk in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. And so as David goes on in his prayer, he prays, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily." This was a daily devotion for David. This wasn't just something that sprung up every now and then. Character is going to be cultivated on a daily basis as we submit our flesh to the altars of prayer. When you tie your carnality to the horns of the altar, allow yourself to get consumed by the fires of his presence, just like those Old Testament burnt offerings were wholly consumed by the fire of God. When we do that, friend, that purging of the Lord is what's going to take us to perfection. That consuming of God is what is going to take us to completion. The reason why a lot of people aren't finishing is because they're not faithful. And if you're not faithful, you're not going to be fruitful. And if you're not fruitful, you're going to get discouraged in your barrenness and in your desolation, in your dryness and in your desert. You're going to start looking for substitute things if you don't believe in the sovereignty of God. You're going to start settling for counterfeits if you lay aside the supernatural presence of the Lord. You'll make the mistake of Nadab and Abihu in the book of Leviticus when they offered strange fire and they were executed by the Lord himself. So my friend David here is showing this is serious to him. I'm coming to you daily. This is my heart's desire. This is what I seek after. And in verse 4, he says, "Rejoice, the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." So not only is there a revelation of this daily devotion to God, but there is also an elevation of David's security in God. He knows who he belongs to. He knows that in this dominion, he is not royalty. He is a servant. He is plain clothed. He is a dancer. He is a praiser. He comes and bows himself with a posture of humility because there is only one who can sit on that throne. And he looks unto the Lord and he knows that God's going to lift up his soul. He's going to be his encourager in the stress and in the storm. He's going to be the lifter of his head when the disappointments of life come. My friend, that's what you and I have to have. We need a revelation of what it means to seek the Lord daily, but we also need an elevation of what it means to be encouraged by the Lord because we are seeking him daily. When you have a personal relationship with God, you're not just going through the motions. He's not just a time clock God to you that you punch in for your hour of church on a Sunday morning and then check out the rest of the week. No, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, many times through the day, you're thinking on him. You're praying to him. You are seeking him through his word. You are not satisfied with the sand. Oh, no, you want what's beneath it. You're going to dig. You're going to grab that shovel and you're going to dig beneath the superficial layers and you're going to find that well. You're going to find that artesian anointing that springs up. You're going to find that geyser of grace, but it's not going to be easy. It's not going to come just because you show up and stand. I mean, you could be standing. Think about it. Some of the people of the last century, in Texas especially, standing on property where there were great, great fountains of oil to be discovered, and yet just standing there, they didn't know it at first. They might have had a speculation. They may have had a confident thought, but they had to drill down. They had to get down deep, and they had to keep drilling until all of a sudden they struck that oil. Well, that's the same way in the spirit. When you go after God daily, and when you let him elevate you, you realize he will lead you to wells of discovery in the deserts of life that you would have never found on your own. And you don't have to be dissatisfied with dry religiosity. You just have to dig. You can't just read the word of God in a passing thought or with a yawn or a lack of focus. You've got to meditate on the word of God. And when you concentrate on it, that's like taking a shovel and digging deeper, and all of a sudden, something that just seems to be dry and liturgical and just merely sterile and theological and where's the real feeling to it, boom, all of a sudden it hits you. There's that earth-shattering moment. There's that passionate discovery. There's that divine encounter with the Almighty God, and the Word of God becomes something more powerful to you. Then the psalmist says in verse 5, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." We're talking about the preserving power of prayer. And so after this revelation of seeking God daily and after this elevation of being lifted up of the Lord, there is now this modification of character because of forgiveness. Forgiveness, my friend, doesn't just let us off the hook. It makes us holy. It doesn't just pardon us. It perfects us. Because forgiveness doesn't just give you the opportunity to walk away from your past. It lets you see the future. It lets you walk across a bridge that is built from the island of your despair to a place of new destinies, to ideas and future hopes and dreams and discoveries in God and development in yourself, and to know that God is plenteous in mercy, that your life's going to be modified. You could walk around with shame in your life the rest of your life, but God's ready to forgive. He's going to alter your life at the altar. He's going to change you by taking off the chains of your life. He is going to turn you around, give you a transformative look into the future so that you're not just haunted by the failures of yesterday. Oh no, you're propelled by this modifying forgiveness. So there's a revelation of daily prayer. There is this elevation of God lifting his head. Now there's this modification of God's ability to change his life and the goodness of God that is revealed in this power of forgiveness. Now, Psalm 86 and 6 says, "Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications." Verse 7, "In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." Now we see the supplication. David here is coming before God with an earnest prayer. He's coming with an entreaty before the Lord, and he is appealing to God to listen to him, to bow down his ear and hear him. And so in this supplication, we see man's approach, but in verse number 7, we see divine participation. What good is earthly supplication if there is no divine participation? In other words, if God doesn't just hear, he also does. Some people don't even think God's listening to them, but even if he's just listening, oh, he's not just a God that hears. He's a God that operates. He's a God that instigates. He's a God that comes in and fills in the blank, replaces the question mark with an exclamation point or a period, or at least even a comma as he continues to work in our lives. And so beyond the supplication, verse 7, he says, "I will call on thee, for thou wilt answer me." He believes that God is going to answer him. He believes that God's going to heed what's in his heart. He believes that when his testimony is heard, that God the judge is going to give a favorable answer, a favorable sentence. And so it's not just supplication, it's divine participation. God is going to answer. This is why in Psalm 18 and 6, the psalmist said, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." Now, that's a scripture that shows the importance of the house of God, because he heard out of his temple. You need to get to church, friend, and do some praying in the church. Psalm 34 and 4 through 6, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." My friend, you're not just a man or woman of supplication. He is a God of participation. If you bring your humility to him, he's going to respond with heaven. If we bring our arrogance to him, then there's going to be deafness in the realm of the divine. God's not going to listen to somebody full of pride. He resists the proud, is what the book of James tells us. But oh, he gives grace. He gives a favorable ear. He comes with an answer to the humble. And so when we are contrite before the Lord, God doesn't just comprehend, but he comes to our need. He answers. He responds. You need to know that God is going to respond to what you're facing in adversity in your life. Listen, he's got a verse for your adversity. Get in the Word of God today. Meditate on it. Study in it. Let his Word be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Let God indicate to you clearly what you are to do next, how you're to take the next step, discernible steps, not confusing, not easily dissuaded from the doctrines of Christ or veered off a path and suddenly choosing or making a choice that's going to cause you to suffer transgressing consequences. No, friend, stick to the path of truth. Call upon the Lord, Psalm 50 and 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalm 55 and 16 through 18, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Oh, friend, you need to know that there's many with you today. And if it's not earthly friends, it's an angelic host, because the angel of the Lord is encamped round about them that fear his name, is what is stated in Psalm 34. So I want you to be encouraged today. And not only that, but the psalmist said, evening, morning, and at noon, I'll pray, he's going to hear. Listen, it doesn't matter if it's at 5 o'clock in the morning and it's the breaking of the dawn, like Jacob wrestling with the angel, God can hear. If it's 9 a.m. in the morning, like Peter and John in Acts 3, going to the temple at the hour of prayer, and there is that lame man sitting at the gate called Beautiful, and before it's over with, the electricity, the Almighty God's going to shoot through his legs. He's going to jump up and dance around like a marionette on the strings, and the master puppeteer is the Almighty himself, who is supplying the strength and the energy and the healing and miraculous power to do it. Or if it's at noon, if it's at high noon and it's the second hour of prayer, God is going to answer. If it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, in that moment when Jesus was dying on the cross and cried out at that last hour after 6 hours of agony, which was around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that thunder began to boom and the earth began to shake. And my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, it was a prayer that was being heard, because the cross was becoming more than an emblem. It was becoming that path to salvation, that hope for broken humanity. Or if it's at the midnight hour, like Paul and Silas in the jail in Acts 16, God can hear. Or if it's in the fourth watch of the night, which is between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning, listen, God can hear your prayer anytime, anywhere. He is able to listen and attend to the voice and the brokenness of what you're going through. Psalm 77 and 1 through 2, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. So here, this psalmist is realizing in this hour of supplication, in this time of intercession, in this place of desperation and needing God, that he's not just a man with a supplication, but he knows there is a God of participation, a God that is going to hear him. Psalm 91:15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Yes, God is a God that shows up. God is a God that gets involved. He's not your deadbeat daddy. He is not a distant savior that can't get there in time. No, you can whisper his name and he'll come If you seek him with humility, he will come with power. Psalm 142 and 1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. Psalm 142 and 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. So again, supplication is being made, intercession unto God, this earnest entreaty before the Lord. But there is a confidence in the one that is praying that the Almighty God is going to show up. Isaiah 26:16, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Yes, God is going to hear. God is going to help. God is going to heal. Don't be discouraged another day longer, friend, in your supplication. There is divine participation. Psalm 86 and 8, among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. So now in verse 8, we see a distinct identification that there is no God like the God that we serve. Now, when you couple identification with God's participation and your supplication, you realize that one of the reasons you're going to God is because nobody can do for you what he can do for you. No one's got the resume. No one's got the revelation. No one's got the power or the results like the Almighty God. See, he's the one that's able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. He's the one whose ways are higher than our ways. We're caught in the maze of confusion, but his holiness is above the hedges. He has a vantage point that can become our advantage if we will trust in him. If we understand that there is nobody like Jesus. Deuteronomy 3:24, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? And of course, that was a rhetorical question, really, because Moses knew there was nobody like the Almighty God. I mean, he didn't talk to three burning bushes. He talked to one, and there was one voice speaking out of that bush. It was the same voice that was tabernacled in John 1 and 14 when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. There's nobody that can do what Jesus can do, what Jehovah who has become salvation can do, your provider, your protector, your healer, your shield, your buckler, your encouragement, the lifter of your head. You need to know that God has a distinct identification. That's why Acts 4 and 12 said, there's none other name, singular, not in a group of names, not on an alternative list, not on a multiple choice test, but none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So when you understand the preserving power of prayer, you understand the revelation of seeking him daily, the elevation of him being the lifter of your head. You understand this distinct identification of the one true God that can do what only he can do. Why don't you let him heal your heart today? Why don't you approach him with humility today and see what the power of preserving prayer can do for you in Jesus' name.
Turn your eyes upon the cross. Hi, this is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.